Good morning, listeners. I'm Lewis Mann with Atlanta Business Radio, and also own a in-home care for the elderly business with my wife, Cheryl. I've brought together some friends of mine today to both educate seniors and their children about the issues related to aging and what resources are available in the community to help them. The people who I've brought together are with a wide range of backgrounds, and they're people who I've worked on in different situations together, so it's not just people who I've researched, it's people I've worked with. First, we have to my left Scott Anderson of Trivest Construction, and he helps families refit their homes. Victoria Collier is an elder care attorney. Tom Corrigan works with Meta Johnson & Associates as a geriatric care manager. Kathy Pettis is with Place for Mom, and she helps seniors find living situations. And Angie Rieckhoff is a financial planner, and she helps families figure out how to pay for this. So I think I'd start and let Scott tell you a little bit about what his firm does, how they're different, and how they assist seniors and their families.
Well, Lewis, Trivest Construction is a general contractor, but we specialize in our residential division with helping seniors age in place and anybody with special needs. We modify homes to better accommodate those people. We offer a complete design build service where we go out to a person's house when requested, and we assess the situation. We listen carefully to what the senior and their family request of us, and then we take a look at their existing house, their systems in their existing house, and see if we can solve whatever problem it is that they have. We encourage people not necessarily to wait until they have found their own solution, but rather to call us out with a problem and let us help in finding the solution. So we propose various modifications, then we price those, and then the senior or the person with special needs will make a decision whether to proceed with any or all of those modifications. We schedule it, we construct it, and then we apply a one-year warranty.
Thanks, Scott. Victoria, why don't you give us the issues that seniors face that you help solve problems with?
Great. Thank you, Lewis, and good morning, everyone. One of the questions we get asked a lot is, what is the difference between estate planning lawyers and elder care planning lawyers? And there is a large difference in that our focus and the question we ask of the client is very different. Estate planning lawyers traditionally will ask and solve problems around, what do you want to do with your assets when you retire or die? Whereas an elder care attorney should be asking the question, what are we going to do to help pay for long-term care and ensure you have a quality of life if and when you keep living? And I say that sort of half laughing, because my oldest client that I have had to date was 106, and nobody thinks they're going to live that long. But we have to plan for that, especially with today's technology, and people are just living healthier lives longer. And so while we do is traditional estate planning, our most common client, our typical client, is one that is generally married, in their 70s or 80s, and they are looking for long-term care planning and really concerned about their quality of life as they age.
Thank you. Tom, we have called you in, Cheryl and I have called you in to assist our clients on several occasions, in particular where there are complex medical problems or complex family related problems, because when you're helping seniors and their families. You're not just helping a senior. You're walking through the dynamics of children. So could you speak to what you do in general and then how you might address those two issues?
Certainly, Lewis. Thanks. As care managers, we do just that. We manage their care. Today's healthcare system has become very fragmented, very complex. Families are multitasking, stressed, you know, and just can't manage the care of their seniors very well. Very few really want to even. So we give them permission to hand that off to us. I had a gentleman once tell me, "You're the quarterback of the team." And I said, that's perfect. I'll use that. So we coordinate all the services. We help assess and evaluate what those services might be. We put together a comprehensive plan of care with recommendations for moving forward. You're very right on top when you say about the family dynamics. Most of the people that do hire us are the adult children, and they always perceive the problem to be with the senior. And as you know, a lot of times it's not. So you walk that delicate line in trying to provide a lot of education, but do a lot of mediation and put those fires out and keep focus on what the agenda should be. Everybody comes to the table with their own agenda. This time of year from Thanksgiving to after New Year's is our busy time because families come in for the first time after being gone for several months up to a year and say, "Oh my God, Mom and Dad aren't doing so well." So that's where we kind of come in and do that assessment and bring in all the professionals such as yourselves sitting around this table to help stabilize the situation and help, you know, meet the needs of that plan we've identified.
Thanks. As part of what Cheryl and I do, we also go into the home. Typically, we're called in at a crisis, either a health or other kind of crisis that the seniors had, and they don't know what to do. And so we start an assessment process. If in some cases we bring Tom in some cases we feel comfortable ourselves, but in all assessments, we're trying to find out the best solution for the family, and staying at home is not always the best solution. And because of either monetary issues or the physical plant, which Scott can help with, or socialization. And so when we have an issue where we want to give the full picture to a particular family, we want to bring in an expert who knows places outside the home that the client could move. And we've had a lot of success with a place for Mom, and that's why I asked Kathy Pettis to come. Kathy, why don't you tell us about how a place for Mom works in serving seniors, and specifically maybe how you, when every client is unique, and how you find the unique place that would fit that client's needs.
Thanks so much for allowing me to be here. I'm really excited about it. One of the things that we want to make sure that we do have the audience understand is that A Place for Mom is number one in the business. We've been around for 10 years based in Seattle, Washington. And what we do as elder care advisors in every single market that we're in is that we learn the market. We partner with everyone in the market, the Toms, the Scotts, all the people that are circulated around this table. So we not only are looking for housing and care for the senior, but we're looking to please the senior in total care. So we can provide elder care advisor references is what we call them. We don't recommend any places because we are not the ones living there. But we will go out into the marketplace, partner with all these people that are around the table, and partner with the assisted living, retirement communities, senior apartments, as well as the memory care areas. And we help that senior based on their budget and on their level of care. We help them find the best place that's going to suit their immediate goals as well as their longer term goals. And so we deal with the families and the dynamics of the family. And sometimes it takes us 2 or 3 years to place that senior as opposed to, you know, 1 or 2 days. So we do go in sometimes in a crisis situation and we try to evaluate what they need immediately and what they can stand long term. But sometimes there is a little bit of a pushback. So in working with those families, we try to go to an elder care attorney and say, you know, there's some family dynamics here. They need more, you know, willing to accept right now. And so how can we work those family dynamics out? We may go to a Tom and say, you know, we have an in-home care situation immediately so that we can get this senior to the level that they can at least function right now while we place them. And we may go to a Scott and say, you know, this home needs to be ramp amplified or whatever else in order to be able to provide the level of care they need for the moment. So it's not always an immediate fix, but we do offer that longer term care. And the biggest part of that is that we're free to the family. So we charge them absolutely nothing to be their elder care advisor and their consultant and their freelance expert.
Thank you very much. Angie works with families on financial planning and also in conjunction with Victoria tries to answer the biggest question in the area, which is how am I going to pay for all of this? And I guarantee you, we all have faced that question before. So, Angie, why don't you talk a little bit about what you do and what special services you provide to advise children of seniors and children who may be facing, you know, looking at the future and what they need to do in their financial planning to prepare for being a senior.
Thank you, Lewis, and thanks for having me here today. I'm Angie Rakup. I'm a certified financial planner, and I'm the founder of Financial Care Providers. Working with the elderly is very different from working with the rest of the population. What you're going to find is the information is decentralized. All their financial information is fragmented amongst the CPA, the estate planning attorney, multiple advisors, multiple insurance carriers. And this fragmented information, no one really quite knows what the facts are. It's an emotional and vulnerable time for the individuals and the family members, and all this uncertainty increases the anxiety, and no one is sure how they're going to pay for it, where the money's going to come from, and if these programs are actually in existence. Doing good research and having accurate information documented in one location solves a lot of problems, and I prevent a lot of costly mistakes. I take full responsibility for creating and maintaining a written game plan. I pull together the net worth statement, inventory of accounts, insurance statements, review estate planning documents, property titles, you know, et cetera. And I coordinate all the efforts of the CPA, the attorney, and the insurance provider so that my clients get comprehensive service and nothing falls through the cracks. I think what I'm gifted at is offering explanations that are understandable so that family members will go ahead and make choices because they can understand. It's not like living in a black hole. The best thing that children and elderly can do is plan beforehand. If you have talked with your parents and you have and already talked to them and already made the decision of what facility they're going to go to, how we're going to handle it when Daddy passes, where are you going to go live? Who's going to take over the responsibility? If you talk to them about that now, when they reach older ages and they're not thinking as clearly, they already have that game plan in mind. You can remind them of that game plan and they can follow it a little more clearly. You also can look at the assets and make plans to spend these assets on the care needed, as opposed to they may get spent in other places. What I look at now is sandwich generations and what the children can do most for themselves to protect themselves and to protect the young generation of grandchildren now is looking at and obtaining long-term care insurance. Neither Medicare nor Medicaid covers. Well, Medicare does not cover long-term care. So a lot of the planning that we do is trying to impoverish the elderly so that Medicaid can pick up the long-term care cost. The fact that in our society we really don't have a socialized way to handle nursing care is difficult, and families need to take on and doing the research and doing the financial planning and estate planning to handle this.
Thank you very much. I thought one of the things that this group was formed to do is educate the public, which I think is one of the most surprising things to me. Cheryl and I started this business 5 years ago because we were purchasers of the service. We took care of my mother, who had dementia. She was a probate judge and knew what, not like most families do, she knew what was going to happen to her. And unfortunately, her biggest fear was not embarrassing herself. And because of the journey of dementia, I was not able to even prevent that. So I know what families go through and what they're faced with. And so I thought maybe we might take an example and see, and just go around the room and see how you might address. I'll set out a simple fact pattern, and you could just say what might happen and how you might respond to it. This is one of our actual clients. I won't give out any names, obviously, but it was someone who had a stroke and was in a rehab facility and could not speak and had loss on the right side and was going through therapy and wanted to come home. And so we went through a process of trying to figure out how to help them. There were limited financial resources. They didn't know whether the home was the best place to go. And so, Scott, why don't you start? I mean, the house is something that we, you know, actually brought you into to look at and do some retrofitting. Why don't we start with you and then go around the room and just sort of, you know, let your imagination run as to what might happen and bring in cases that you've actually dealt with that would be similar and how you responded.
Well, first of all, of course, we want to assess what the situation is. So our main targets are we want to make sure the person is safe in their home, and then that things are comfortable and convenient for them. So obviously we stress their abilities rather than their disabilities. We don't look so much at what they can't do, we look at what they can do. So in this particular example you listed, and if a person has a strong side or in a weak side as an example, we keep that in mind as we look at how that person will be getting around the house. Where are grab bars needed to assist them on their strong side? In this particular case, I think this individual needed a chairlift in their home to go up the stairs, so we made that kind of an analysis and eventually installed one of those. If a person's using a wheelchair, We have to look at the floor coverings in the house. We needed to look at hard surface floors as opposed to carpeted floors. We may need to widen doors to get a wheelchair through certain areas. We may need to change the swing of doors. We look at, of course, in the bathroom, if a person may need a roll-in access to a shower as opposed to a bathtub. That shower needs to be large enough to use a shower wheelchair in there. We may need ramps up to the front door in order to get a proper access. In general, we just go down kind of a checklist of what specific improvements could be helpful to this person given their abilities. And, of course, we look at the prognosis, too. In a stroke victim situation, many times their situation is expected to improve with the various therapies. So we want to kind of anticipate that if we can. Then, of course, we list all of these solutions to the potential problems, and the family decides if they'd like to proceed with any or all of the suggestions that we make. In our particular case, we don't charge anything for the initial assessment or for the proposal, the design ideas. None of that is of cost to our customers. Only if they ask us to proceed with construction is there cost associated with our services. So the nice thing is that a family can invite us into the home, make us part of a team of solving problems, and not worry about cost associated with the idea process and the planning process.
Thanks. Victoria, this particular client had financial resources, but they are limited. And so the question is, how would you approach discussing what needs to be done from a planning standpoint? They're five siblings, so it's a difficult minefield, as we talked about earlier, to face. Just give me your thoughts on, in general, because I'm sure you've faced similar situations.
Sure, Lewis. You know, with every client that calls our office, you know, there may be some similar fact patterns, but every family is different and every plan is different because of that. And there's a lot of different legal issues that you've talked about with regard to a family member with a stroke, five children, someone who's wanting to come home, may or may not be able to. And I come from this not only from a lawyer's perspective, but I also was a nurse's aide in a nursing home years ago doing hands-on care. And so I look at it from the personal perspective as well. But the first thing we would do is, once someone is in our office for a consultation, is we would see if they have the powers of attorney for both health care and for financial matters, so that if the person needs assistance with making decisions and coordinating their finances, paying their bills, that they have the legal ability to do so. If they have powers of attorney, the first thing we do is we review them to make sure that they're adequate to do long-term care planning for preservation of independence, preservation of assets, and securing good long-term care. If they don't have powers of attorney, then we will assess their competency. Just because someone has a diagnosis or someone has a disability does not mean that they're incompetent to sign legal documents, but it could mean that they are incompetent, so we would have to assess that. If they're able, we would have them sign new powers of attorney for both health care and finances. If they're not competent to do so, then we would need to consider guardianship so that someone through the court system can be appointed to assist them. In a case like this, someone who wants to come home, and it doesn't matter whether someone has $2,000 or if someone has $700,000, when we're talking about health care and long-term care services, we all have limited funds. Again, we don't know how long we will live, and the longer we live, the more limited our funds become, and especially when we need long-term care. So we take everyone with the idea that our funds are limited. So what we do as an elder care attorney is we look for other resources to help us stretch our current resources, stretch our income. And the other kinds of resources we look for example, with this client, I would ask them, are you either a veteran or the widow of a veteran? Because there's additional tax-free income that can help you pay for home health care, that can help you pay for assisted living care or nursing home care. And if you're a married veteran, just to give you an example, that can be just over $23,000 a year to help offset your own income and to help your assets stretch longer. So that's one of the first things we look at. With the idea of going home, we would also look into whether or not they own their own home and if they can get a reverse mortgage. We do not do reverse mortgages, but we have good relationships with people who do, professionals that are in our Atlanta Senior Resource Team here that we can rely on, and certainly we don't rely on postcards that people get in the mail. So we can help people assess whether that would be a benefit or not. And then lastly, you know, one of the things we do is we do different kinds of planning. We have a five-year plan, which for someone who does not need a nursing home immediately, but we understand that they may in the future, because they have a known diagnosis or a disability, is we can put plans in place to set up the situation to preserve the resources and get Medicaid in the future should that be necessary. And then we also do crisis plans. So if, for example, this client, the doctors say that, I'm sorry, you cannot go home, your PT and OT, your therapy is not progressing the way we had hoped, you're going to have to stay here, we can actually do immediate plans to help people preserve their resources and still gain access to veterans benefits and Medicaid benefits. So we look at the whole picture.
Thank you very much, Tom. This kind of situation is right up the alley for geriatric care management because there's a severe medical problem involved, depression from the medical problem and the view of the future from the client's perspective, differing emotions from the children being mad at their parent for having the stroke and feeling guilty for not being able to help her directly enough and yet lead their own life. We have seen situations, and I'd like for you to speak to delirium and dementia hides itself in some interesting ways, like a urinary tract infection, something simple. So taking care and making sure the medical area is addressed. And in addition, of course, the after they sit down with Victoria, of course, they're going to have a bunch of decisions to make. And you guys and your team are always helpful in walking through that. So if you would just speak to that, I'd appreciate it. Thank
Certainly.
You.
I think walking through it's a good way to put it. So much of this depends, as we all know, when we come into the picture. We all want to get in there and assess early. Part of our care planning is identifying all the resources that's at this table and to bring them in at the appropriate time. And we do need to make a plan. We need to assess. I also want to comment on the fact I think we're all aware of as big as the healthcare market is here in Atlanta, I think there's just really a handful of good providers, honestly. There's so many people out there trying to make a buck, and this is a vulnerable population. So I think we all have learned the need to work together as a team collaboratively, not only to make the plan successful, but to protect the actual senior themselves. In a situation like this, obviously, family dynamics do play into this. We have to play many roles, wear many hats, so while we're being a resource allocation person, we're also helping mediate, provide counseling and support. With somebody with a bad stroke with expressive aphasia, which just sounds like this person has, maybe looking at an augmentative communication device that would help this person communicate better. A lot of times when they come home from the hospital, there's still a lot of unassessed needs. You see that every day, Lewis, with your clients. And so we need to look at, did this person have the proper workup from a neuropsychological perspective? Have they had testing to see what exactly their cognitive functioning is? I think Scott commented on the recovery process from a stroke, but this also is a person who's at risk for having another stroke or several smaller ones. So in looking at their staying at home, obviously Scott covered that legally. I know Angie will cover the financial part. But we would also work with someone like a Place for Mom to see, what if this person does get better? Where should they go? Is socialization important enough to not be at home? We're all many of us are involved in this aging in place group here in Georgia. And most people in our generation don't really want to be in congregate housing when we get older. But today's market is requiring that a lot of people are, and it's a good fit for several people. Not everybody should be at home, isolated, and not having that oversight. So that's part of what we would provide is that oversight, looking at what they need. I was at a client's house the other day with a nursing, they have round-the-clock nursing assistance, but this woman had abdominal pain and was throwing up blood. Nobody called anybody. And it's not a good situation. They weren't a quality provider like you guys. So that's part of what we have to deal with, convincing the family that they don't have the right provider and how we can get a good provider in. And we're still addressing that, because it's a trust process. Once they get to work with us and have that level of trust, I think we can make a lot of changes and quality changes as well. So just really wanting the children to have that commitment and to learn how to compromise and all get on board so that we're all on the same page. That's really important too.
That's great. Perfect segue to Kathy. As I stated early in what I was talking about, and when you sit down and talk with a family, if you want to solve their problem, your service may or may not be the solution. And so that's why where somebody lives is important, and getting help to know where the best place is something that Kathy and her organization does. In this particular situation, the family would have to go through a variety of choices that you could provide them of different housing options. Why don't you speak to that and how they differ and how you would go through the recommendation process?
Thanks so much. All of the dynamics that were discussed before are definitely pertinent, and we would want to know immediately from those five siblings which one has POA, which one has even guardianship or conservatorship, because who can make the decision about what mom needs right now or what dad needs right now? And we don't want to talk to five people. We want to talk to one person. So they would need to designate out of that group who's going to be that viable person that can go back and forth with us and can get the situation handled. Of course, we do handle multiple conversations at any given time, both on the family side as well as on the side of the people that we're seeking for the care. We would want to know if you have in-home care already, and if you do have that, who's providing that, and we recognize our partners in the industry, and there are a lot of people that right now we're not partnered with, but we're aggressively seeking those every day. That's why I write down the names of the people around this table so that I can make sure that we have relationships already. So we're trying to be a one-stop shop for all of these kind of scenarios, because the more we know about what they have already, the more we can send them in the right direction. Most people immediately think nursing home. That's just the name of a place that is outside their home. They don't see the differences between nursing home, assisted living, retirement communities, or senior apartments. They don't know that readily. So we try to educate them on the fact that nursing home, of course, the ratios of caregiver to resident is extremely high. And so in most cases, as a senior advisor, I don't necessarily want to send them to a nursing home. If they require skilled nursing, which is going to be a major situation longer term, outside of in-home care, when they have to move out of those premises, then of course we would look at what can nursing home provide at the top level of care. So we try to assess the situation. What do they need immediately? What can that one stop get them? If they can go into assisted living and stay there and age in place, we prefer that. We don't want to move that senior more than once. So our objective in the course of the conversation with both the children, the other family dynamics that are involved financially or otherwise, with private pay, how much do they have? Are they veterans, as Angie mentioned earlier? So we're trying to assess what assets do they have, what kind of care can they pay for, but we turn no one away. So we're not going to say, okay, we can help you, but we can't help you. So we help everyone that we can, and we make sure that, you know, we're just there to give them the best level of care in the best housing at the moment, but that they can grow into as well and not have to keep relocating.
Thank you very much. And in this particular situation, Angie, there was not a lot of financial planning. The parent had a certain amount of money that she'd accumulated, and there were five siblings who hadn't really thought about it. And so I know after talking to someone like Victoria, which they had talked to an attorney after the initial stroke happened, they would need to either the attorney or they would sit down with someone like you to help them figure out how to pay for the services they're going to need. So just speak to what you might, how the conversation might go.
You know, I love it. Lewis gives you guys one scenario, and then when he turns to me, he brings in five siblings, and it's like, wow, did you really open Pandora's box on that one? what happens when you take someone and they're in a situation and they are very disabled? Their health is impaired with a stroke. They've got very limited abilities. But it seems like this person has a lot of their own thoughts and ideas about what they want and what they don't want. That's a really hard situation. And what I see and what I appreciate about working with a team of advisors like we've got sitting around this table is that collectively I can get a grip and tack down what information is real, what are the actual facts, and not hypotheticals. It's rumored that they have an insurance policy. It's rumored that this is set up. It's rumored that mom actually has a will in place. We actually get the facts down. And by working together, I can work with advisors like Scott or advisors like Tom, and we can put forward suggestions that they can actually afford. I would hate to have someone like Tom come in and talk extensively about how great it would be to go home, Scott to talk about the great ways they could augment their home, when the cash flow will not fund staying in the house, making any changes to the house, or paying for the assisted living. I'd much rather have Kathy come in and talk about how good it's going to be to get them to a nice facility and how good the life can be at a facility, not a nursing home, but someplace that they actually can enjoy being and create a picture for that stroke victim with limited capabilities and still their own strong mind, but create a picture for them that they actually can have versus having multiple advisors create a conflicting picture that they cannot achieve. Working together harmoniously means a lot to the client. Each person at this table has a lot of varied capabilities, and I am so thankful that Scott is here because I can't even put together a chair from Office Depot. And when I sit down with elderly and look at somebody like Tom, I can't assess what the needs are, what they can do to fulfill it. Victoria brings in a lot of social services and a lot of veteran services that can provide things that may be outside of the personal realm. And Kathy has got ideas about where to place people and can really assess their needs and put them in a right fit place. When you're looking at this individual, too, with like the five kids, some of those children may have resources, and you may want to utilize the children's resources as opposed to selling like a highly appreciated taxable asset of that, and I assume it's the mom that had a stroke, but of that mother, because that asset will be more valuable as an inherited item as it would be to liquidate it now. It's important that you go through all those fact patterns and try to preserve the assets of the entire family so that they can last as long as possible for that elder care. And since we are getting to the end, I do need to mention that the opinions voiced in this show are for general information only, and they're not intended for anyone to go out and take these as specific recommendations for your situation. Determining what investments may be appropriate to keep or to liquidate, you need to consult your attorney, your accountant, and your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to making any moves. My securities and financial planning are offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, and we're members of FINRA SIPC.
Thank you very much. I want to thank Lee. We're about have about 5 minutes remaining, and I want to thank Lee for providing this forum, and I want to really thank all of you. I think I have recognized, and I hope you did, listeners, that the people at this table have a passion about what they do, and that's really important in delivering the care to seniors and their families, because as a purchaser, and I think one of the biggest reasons for me doing this is my biggest fear as a purchaser was I just didn't know what was out there. And I hope this helps people at least pique their interest and follow up. So I'd like to end by asking everybody to do a couple of things. Give out your contact information and, again, tell who you are, and also any special licenses you have. I'll start. My name is Lewis Mann, and my wife and I, Cheryl, own Atlanta Home Care Partners. We're a non-medical in-home care provider, and you can contact us at 404-228-0103 or through our website at www.atlantahomecarepartnerswithans.com. We're licensed by the state of Georgia to deliver care through two ways, personal care and companion sitting, and we're audited by the state on an annual basis. So I'll let Scott speak now.
Well, my name is Scott Anderson. I'm with the company is called Trivest Construction Incorporated. My cell phone number is 678-772-7732. Our company website is Trivest, that's T-R-I-V-E-S-T, construction.com. And my email address is kanders3@bellsouth.net. Trivest is has a general contractor's license for the state of Georgia, and I am CAPS certified by the National Association of Home Builders. CAPS is an acronym for Certified Aging in Place Specialist. Thank you very much for having us today, Lewis. I appreciate having an opportunity to talk with this group.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Victoria Collier, and I'm partner in the law firm Collier and St. Clair that focuses exclusively in the areas of elder law to include VA and Medicaid benefits. When looking for an elder care attorney, you have to find someone who is knowledgeable in both VA and Medicaid, generally a member of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys. I sat as the chair of the Georgia chapter of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys. I'm currently the chair of the elder law section of the State Bar of Georgia, and to assist with VA benefits, a lawyer or any individual assisting with VA benefits must be accredited by the Veterans Administration, which both lawyers in our firm are. And I would also look at the community service that is provided by that lawyer. For example, I've been appointed by the governor of Governor Perdue to the Georgia Council on Aging, and that's a board that advises directly to the governor on aging issues. And what sets our firm apart is that we provide education first to people who would like to become clients. And after the education, we provide a free consultation. And you can call us at 1-866-371-6100. That's 866-371-6100. Or find us on our website at elderlawgeorgia.com or atlantamemorylawyer.com.
Thanks, Victoria. My name again is Tom Corrigan. I'm with Meta Johnson & Associates. We're collectively have the most experience as care managers in the Atlanta market. I've been doing care management since the early 90s in Washington, D.C. I started. We are all certified in our profession. We've all had to sit for that exam we all have to take. We are a profession. A lot of people are not aware of that. Certified professional care managers is a profession on itself. Our contact information is our website, metajohnson.com, www.metajohnson.com. My email is Tom, TomCorrigan at bellsouth.net. My contact phone is 404-791-8234. And I think all of us at this table are very connected and try to do our part in serving on different boards, addressing some of these healthcare issues. And I have done that as well on the Parkinson's Board, Lifespan Resources, COP Services for the Elderly, and Senior Services of North Fulton. So I think that's a real important part that Victoria mentioned about what kind of community service, how connected are these providers that our people are contacting. Thank you.
My name is Kathy Pettis, and Place for Mom is at www.aplaceformom.com, aplaceformom.com, and we do serve dads too. And I wanted to just make sure that you have my local number, 770-217-3876, 770-217-3876. And my email address is Kathy with a K, K-A-T-H-Y, the letter P for Pettis, at aplaceformom.com. We are a one-stop shop, so we can get you to everyone else around this table. If you call us with any scenario, we're able to work through the scenario. We have no bias because we don't recommend, we refer. So we would love to work with you and with the family dynamics involved.
Hey, I'm Angie Rakup with Financial Care Providers. I'm a certified financial planner and chartered financial consultant. I've got seven licenses in the insurance and investment industry, so I'm kind of completely covered. If someone wants to reach me, they can call me anytime, 770-353-6333. My email is Angie@financialcareproviders.com. And after the first of the year, you can visit us on our new website at financialcareproviders.com. Just getting a chance to wrap up the group a little bit. The reason we work together well is the people around the table, in my opinion, has a really strong sense of family. Family means an awful lot to us, and we know how we want our families taken care of, and that's what we have built our practices around, is trying to take that caring and what we feel for our own homes and our own families and taking care of your family members in that way.
Thanks, everybody, for coming, and I hope it was a learning experience for your audience, Lee.